This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It is Dukes and Bell. Our man Chris Thomas filling in for Carl today on a Friday, on a Falcon Victory Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. More on the Falcons. Bryant McFadden joined us earlier here. Him about 6:20. We'll go around the NFL, get his take on the unbelievable comeback win last night at the Benz. Man, it's been a crazy week in Atlanta sports. The Georgia-Bama game, to obviously the Braves having to get that series in with the Mets and then go to San Diego. Grant McCauley joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline for one of our final going around the yard with the Braves. And Grant, I mean, that loss, we didn't get a chance because it was just a two-hour show yesterday. I just felt like something great was going to happen. They were battling. They were taking the crowd out of it. Let's start with, though, Max Fried. I mean, he was at 97, 98. He was definitely feeling his some gumption. But what a strange way, if that's the way his career ends, for Max to go out like that.
Yeah, you definitely wouldn't write it that way if you had the opportunity to script it. And I'm sure Max Fried, I mean, you saw him after the game, you know, discussing with reporters. I mean, it was an emotional thing for him, knowing that this could very well be his last start in a Braves uniform. And the competitor that Max Fried is, going out that way. The liner off the hip that they kind of led the Braves to decide to pull him a little bit earlier, I think, than maybe they would have liked to. But then again, it's a 5-0 ball game in the second inning in a win or go home kind of scenario for the Braves. Some people call those elimination games. So you got to do whatever you need to. The bullpen certainly stepped up. Max Fried wasn't able to do his thing. And as you mentioned, it did feel like, and maybe this is the 2024 Braves in a nutshell, a hit away from doing something, getting back into it, and just unable to get all the way back. But the fact that this team with 89 wins made it into the postseason, considering everything they faced this year, that says something about the resiliency of the group, even if it didn't end the way they wanted it to.
Grant, when it comes to looking ahead, there's a couple of positions I think that everyone's basically pointing to that perhaps a change may be needed, shortstop included, perhaps backup catcher. Is there a situation where you feel like the Braves have a new starting shortstop and maybe either Murphy or Darnold is no longer with the team next season?
No, I would say no on the catchers, but shortstop is a pretty obvious place for the Braves to assess their options and see what's out there, because Orlando Arcia, you know, defensively speaking, he's an everyday shortstop. I think he plays the position fine. And the big thing that, and I've talked about this a lot on From the Diamond, I've talked about it a lot on some of the other call-ins I've done on the station, when you had a lineup that was full of Ronald Acuna Jr. Right. and Austin Riley and, you know, the rest of the guys that were having big seasons last year, all you were asking Orlando Arcia to do was bat eighth or ninth, you know, maybe come through a time or two, but really just to hold down the fort at shortstop. And he was good at doing that. But once he was getting pressed into, I think, being asked to do a lot more than that, and, you know, not for nothing, had a historically bad season hitting with runners on base. And that's hard to ignore, and just kind of underscores exactly how much he struggled, because it wasn't just a general offseason, it was one that, you know, hurt in times in which you could have used a little bit more pop there. So I think that's a place that you really start looking at. They'll assess their rotation, figure things out, you know, beyond just the Max Fried decision or negotiations or what may come in his free agency. But they've got to, you know, look at a couple of different places and figure out how they can get better. But if they can get healthy, number one, I mean, this is still a very good baseball team. But Alex Anthopoulos is never going to look at it and say, you know what? I think we're good. We're not going to make any major moves. We're just not going to do anything over the course of an entire winter. I would find that very hard to believe.
Right. Grant McCauley's with us, guys. We're live at Twin Peaks here in Kennesaw. We're going to hear from Darnell Mooney, guys, in 15 minutes about the big game and the big win and the comfort behind victory. Yeah, Grant, you mentioned, or see, you made a great point. You know, when you're surrounded by great talent, you can be Mark Belanger. Mm-hmm. You know, but when you're bringing in guys off the waiver wire, I need him and Murphy, you know, guys that are starters on this team to respond, and they just couldn't do it. What's the big picture with Murphy? I know defensively he's really, really good, but he also, unfortunately, was too many times just nothing at the plate.
Brian Snitker talked at length about Sean Murphy today, and I thought that it was interesting because, you know, Snit is a player's manager, you know, and it's not like he's going to go out and, you know, start criticizing the play of these guys. He knows it's a long season as well, but when Sean Murphy got hurt on opening day, missed that next 2 months, and just never really seemed to get on track, it derailed the Braves' entire catching plans. And Snit had said, look, we were really going to lean on Sean Murphy to catch 3 out of every 4 games this year to kind of make him that workhorse guy. But then once he lost all that time, and the fact that Travis d'Arnaud had been hitting and you really couldn't sacrifice offense at several times this year that d'Arnaud was swinging the bat well, it kind of changed, as plans will, over the course of 162. But I would caution anyone or any team to look at a player coming off their off year and then sell low on that player, give up on that player. I think that with a normal offseason and getting the opportunity to get back in there, there's still a lot of value in Sean Murphy. And this, clearly, not a good year. Nobody's trying to say that it was. But when you think of it in the long-term perspective, you can't necessarily judge a player through the lens of what I would call, in a lot of ways, kind of a worst-case scenario type season. Essentially, yeah, he wasn't lost for the year, but it derailed him in a lot of different ways. But that was kind of the 2024 Braves, is injuries, injuries, and more injuries, the extent of which obviously kind of ran the gamut. But I think Sean Murphy kind of got caught in the crosshairs of a lot of expectation and then not being able to play for a while and just really, truly never being able to get on track.
What does your gut tell you about Charlie Morton, Grant?
I think that this could be it, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he did decide he wanted to pitch, but I don't expect it to be a 1 year, $20 million deal for Charlie Morton to, you know, to forego retirement and come back to the Braves. There's a lot to be said for consistency in terms of having somebody that goes to the post every fifth day. Charlie Morton's one of very few starters in baseball, even into his 40s, who was starting 30 games every year, and that is valuable. And as we've seen before, your depth can go really quick. But I don't know that that's going to be at or near the top of the list of candidates that the Braves are going to look at in terms of, you know, trying to make a splash or make an upgrade or whatever fans may want. I think they're going to look at a lot of different things. But if Charlie Morton does decide to call it a career, I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Right. And, Grant, we get it. I mean, the injuries and this, the way the season was compressed at the end. But to lose Chris Sale, it was just you couldn't written. I saw today that, yes, had they advanced to the NLDS, he would have been on the roster, but that's no consolation now. Snickers had to deal with a lack of starting pitching his entire tenure as a manager. So next year you go in with Chris Sale, Ronaldo Lopez, Spencer Strider, and Schwellenbach. But we really don't know for sure when Strider comes back. Are they going to? He's never really want to spend big money, the big money, you know, on pitching. Where do you think? What do you think Max gets in the open market? And we've debated this all offseason. What is Max going to get somewhere?
I've looked at Max in kind of the Carlos Rodon era or area in terms of contract. I can't remember if that's what, 6 and 165, something like that,
Yes.
5 and 150, somewhere in that neighborhood. Obviously, we're talking about a $30 million average annual value for you know, clubs out there. I mean, Alex said today 30 teams would love to have Max Fried, and that is absolutely true. But you know, all you have to do is get 3 or 4 of them that really want him to start a little bit of a bidding war, and he could find himself you know, putting on a new uniform. I'm not sure the Braves want to go up into the $30-plus million a year on Max Fried, but that may be what the market dictates. So it'll be, you know, obviously you play through to get to free agency to try to cash in and make the most that you can as an individual, as a player in the game, and that obviously is going to be, I think there's going to be a good market for Max Fried, to not ramble on.
Any reason to believe that Rossell Iglesias can't come back next season and do exactly what he did this year?
No, I think he's been pretty consistent. I mean, the run that he got on, though, I mean, that was the best run of his entire career. So knowing that you have a pitcher like that that is capable of coming in and you just really don't have to spend much time worrying about the ninth inning, that I think is something that the Braves are very happy to have for another year. And they'll look for ways, I'm sure, to try to refortify that bullpen. But having long-term deals in place with a few of their setup men, I'm interested to see if A.J. Minter, given the hip surgery, might be, you know, amenable to coming back on a shorter-term deal to kind of rebuild his value, then go back into free agency. It's something that he did discuss a month or so ago. But you've also got, they did say they're going to pick up Aaron Bummer's option, and that's somebody left-handed that could also fill a role, maybe a medium leverage role, but you've got to have a lot of them. And the Braves led Major League Baseball in ERA and strikeouts this year. I don't think anybody had that on their board. And some of the guys I just mentioned, and like you said, Raisel Iglesias, big parts of a pitching staff that was one of the best in the majors.
And Grant, I know you read some of the websites, and sometimes it's misleading, but we looked at the numbers for the projected salary for next year, and the Braves are like top three. So do you feel that, I mean, we've always felt that Alex, you know, he never admit it when we ask him about it, but it always feels like there's some kind of a bit of a ceiling that he has to work under. How much spending are they going to do in this offseason?
Well, Alex was asked specifically about that today and if he expected payroll to go up, and his answer was yes. And he didn't go into a bunch of qualifiers. The only real follow-up that he provided to that answer of, like, is payroll going to go up, was it has every year that I've been here. Obviously, full seasons, the COVID year kind of put it aside. It was a weird thing for everybody for a variety of reasons. But also that he has never been told no when he's gone to get a deal done by the higher-ups and Terry McGuirk. So he feels confident that they're going to continue to spend. I think they've shown that trend. It'll be fascinating to see what they do with that money and how much bang for their buck they can get.
All right, man. All-Star game next year in Atlanta. Bear is back on the option. So, hey, man, let's put the band back together, add some pieces, and let's get back to work. Grant, great job this season, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.